This morning on Wake Up with Hope, we have Pastor Mark Finley giving today's devotional message and inspiring Reflections of Hope episode, health news, and more.
Stay with us. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up with Hope. You know, every morning is a new opportunity to share the love of Jesus with someone. And we are here today to share that joy with you.
Happy Friday, friends. We are so joyful to be with you this morning as we work our way into the weekend. We are so glad you're here with us.
And did you know that today is National Brother Day?
Wonderful.
It's a day that aims to especially highlight the significance of male siblings and their contributions. You know, what a wonderful time to remember that not only our own brothers, but also our elder brother, his name is Jesus Christ.
Amen. Hebrews 2 verse 11 says that both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren.
Yes, I love that.
Amen. Jesus calls you and I his siblings, his brothers and sisters, and what an amazing privilege. We certainly hope you will celebrate that fact today.
Amen. So now let's take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1844, the American inventor Samuel F.B. Morse dispatched a message on a telegraph from the U.S. Capitol to Alfred Vail at a railroad station in Baltimore, Maryland, as members of Congress looked on. His message, "What hath God wrought?" was then telegraphed back to him by Vail. The message marked the beginning of a more rapid way of communication in America. Technology is constantly evolving, and of course, today we have moved away from the telegraph in a very radical way. We now have these handheld devices that can send a message to someone else in a matter of seconds. However, though the ability is there, the reality remains that sometimes we run into trouble. Sometimes our messages are undelivered because of a poor or failed signal. And while we have the ability to send a message within seconds, we are still dependent on other factors working optimally in order for us to take advantage of that ability.
On the other hand, how powerful it is to know that we can send a message to God without any interference. We can pray to Him and He can send help before we're even done praying. And we can encourage you today to talk to God. Tell Him your fears, your joys, and your deepest emotions. It is a message that I'm sure will get across no matter where you are.
Amen. No need to worry about the reception when you're talking to Jesus.
That's right. That's right.
Well, Dr. Nerida McKibben joins us now to share special health news.
In the headlines today, cancer cut by veggies, increased by red meat, plant-based diet and fasting for longevity, and higher antioxidants linked to lower dementia. A couple of new studies have found that high consumption of vegetables paired with a low consumption of red meat lowers the risk for developing certain cancers. The study of red meat consumption comes out of northeastern Iran, and they tracked 50,000 people aged 40 to 75 for 12 years. During that time, 370 developed esophageal cancer, and the same number developed stomach cancer. Those in the highest quartile of red meat consumption had a 25% increased risk over those in the lowest quartile. The study monitoring veggie consumption involved over 470,000 people and found that those with the highest rate of veggie consumption were one-third less likely to develop liver cancer. So protect yourself from cancer by sliding the red meat off your plate and adding a generous serving of vegetables. You'll save money and your health. There's a wealth of studies on the impact of diet on aging. Sometimes they produce contradictory advice and others are so focused they don't give a balanced picture. So recently researchers analyzed hundreds of studies in an effort to reach a consensus. They concluded that the best diet for longevity includes a diet rich in legumes and whole grains that's either purely vegetarian or vegetarian with fish, and no red meat or processed meat. When they broke it down to macronutrients, they recommended 30% of calories from vegetable fats like nuts or olives and olive oil. For protein, they suggested keeping intake low but sufficient until age 65 and then increasing it after. Of course, sugar and refined carbs should be kept to a minimum. The pattern of eating should include 12 hours of fasting overnight and confining meals to the other 12 hours of the day. They also recommended short-term periods of fasting. So in summary, eat a plant-based diet rich in fruits, vegetables, whole grains and nuts with periods of fasting. Isn't it remarkable that medical science confirms the diet that God gave us in the Garden of Eden to prolong life? The American Association of Neurology recently published a study on the relationship between antioxidants and dementia. The study found that people with high levels of antioxidants, lutein and zeaxanthin and beta-cryptoxanthin in their blood had lower risk of dementia decades later. The study included 7,200 people who had blood antioxidant levels checked at the beginning of the study. They were then tracked for an average of 16 years. Authors suggest that further studies are needed to test whether adding these antioxidants can help protect our brains from dementia. I suggest we go directly to the source and get our lutein and zeaxanthin from green veggies like broccoli, peas and spinach, and our beta-cryptoxanthin from papayas, oranges and tangerines. I'm Dr. Monerita McKibben and that's today's health news.
On May 3, 2018, the ground opened up and spewed out lava into the residential areas of Puna on Hawaii's Big Island. Over the next several weeks, rivers of lava flowed from over 20 fissures, consuming everything in its path. It was an unstoppable flow. Homes were destroyed, memories were lost, families were displaced, and lives were forever altered. But despite this tragedy, hope remains. Let's find out more on today's episode of Reflections of Hope with Pastor Taj Pakleb.
There are a few places in this world that are as amazing as Hawaii. The green landscapes, the blue seascapes, the perfect weather, the friendly people, and the culture of aloha. Hawaii is truly one of a kind. It is a real blessing to have been born and raised in this beautiful island paradise. Of the eight islands of Hawaii, the largest and the youngest is the Big Island. It is the home to five volcanoes. One is extinct, another is dormant, and three are considered active. One of which is the longest active volcano in all the world, the fierce and fiery Kilauea. Located on the southeast shore of the Big Island, Kilauea has been steadily erupting since 1983. But in May of 2018, Kilauea would put on its most impressive show. During this historic time, over 20 lava fissures opened up on Kilauea's East Rift Zone, an area that was occupied by several housing divisions. Over 2,000 people were evacuated as the ground opened up and spewed out lava into residential areas, covering major passageways and threatening homes and families. It was a state of emergency for the district of Puna. Many didn't have the time to gather any of their possessions. Survival was all that mattered. The character of the lava came in all different shapes, sizes, colors, and textures. Some of it came like the violent explosions of dynamite, blasting hot liquid rocks in every direction, like the shrapnel of a weapon of war. The lava also flowed like the subtle seeping of ooze, being squeezed through the cracks of the earth. Then there was the slow-flowing sludge called pahoehoe, leisurely blanketing the ground. Some of the lava created the mesmerizing methane flame of blue fire coming from the cracks of county streets. Some came like braided ropes, others like pointed fingers, some like the crusty crumbling of breadcrumbs called a'a. Others grew like swollen knobby knuckles, some bubbled and boiled like water in a pot, and others steamed and sizzled like a fish on a grill. But of all the 20-plus fissures, fissure number 8 behind me was the most impressive. When the earth cracked open, it vented out a massive fountain of lava that shot over 300 feet into the atmosphere. This created the fast-moving lava river that flowed down the slopes of Kilauea, consuming everything in its path. It was an unstoppable flow. When the lava hit the ocean, it was a spectacular sight to behold. The hot semi-solid lava rock clashing with the cold liquid ocean created a violent reaction. There were aggressive explosions of red rock shooting into the atmosphere, followed by streaks of red and orange sparks arching to the ground. The intense heat caused the salt water to vaporize immediately on contact, creating billowing steam clouds that rose hundreds of feet into the air. And the glow from the molten rock caused the steam clouds to light up red and yellow and orange and even pink and purple. It is the power and abstract beauty of the lava flow that draws tens of thousands of people to visit the Big Island each year. When I got the chance to see the lava flowing for myself, I was mesmerized by its motion. I was warmed by its heat, awakened by its light, and captivated by its power. I could definitely spend countless hours just staring in amazement at the power of God demonstrated through living creation. It is definitely one of the top five things to see before you die. But after free flowing for the past 35 plus years, Kilauea's flow has finally paused. When the crater floor of Pu'o collapsed in April of 2018, all the lava drained out like water in a bathtub. Now is the time of relative peace and safety. The flow has ceased. The fog has cleared. But who knows for how long this time of tranquility will last. In total, the beautiful but destructive fiery lava destroyed over 700 homes. It covered over 13 square miles and caused over $800 million of damage. As the hot liquid rock moved its way from Leilani Estates down the slopes to the ocean, it was headed straight to the crystal tide pools of Kapoho. The tide pools of Kapoho was one of the natural jewels of the Big Island, a resting place where families could gather and enjoy the ocean's relaxing embrace. But now, it's only a sweet memory, forever gone by the power of Kilauea. Now, there are no adequate words to describe what this beautiful community had faced when the ground opened beneath them. It destroyed homes, memories were lost, families were displaced, and lives were forever altered. Mother Nature reminded us of just how weak and vulnerable we are against her fury. Our thoughts and prayers go with those who are affected by this fiery eruption. And please join me in praying for the precious people of Hawaii and those around the world who had suffered such a great loss. Despite this terrible tragedy, there's still so much for everyone to be thankful for. Even in the blaze, there are many blessings to be found. First of all, no human life was lost. Everything that was destroyed can be replaced. And it was a wake-up call to remind us that this world is not our home, and that all material things will not last forever. It also affirmed the strong ancient Hawaiian belief that we can never really own the land. We're not owners. We're just stewards over what God has entrusted to us. For the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. There's also a powerful life lesson in the lava. For the eruption not only brought destruction, it also brought new creation. The volcano takes, but it also gives. It destroys, but it also creates. And though the eruption of Kilauea has covered over 13 square miles, it has also added over 500 acres of new land to this island. And when the hot lava clashed with the cold liquid ocean, the small pieces of fiery red rocks exploded and eroded into millions of pieces, creating several new beautiful black sand beaches that cover this once rocky shoreline, providing a new place for families to gather and enjoy the beauty of new creation, a new place to experience happy moments and create lasting memories with those who we love. My friends, it will be well for us to remember that our good Lord works in a similar way. For he is the God of fiery lava love. And just like the lava flow that destroys and creates, by his love, the Lord of lava seeks to cover the old life of selfishness and create a new life of salvation, to burn up the worthless chaff of sin and selfishness and set us on fire for him. It was the patriarch Job who experienced untold disaster and devastating loss that very few will ever experience. Every earthly comfort was stripped, and every worldly security was taken away. And yet Job, in the midst of his loss and destruction, made a powerful declaration of faith. He is the one that said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For when he has tried me in the fire, I shall come forth as gold." Both in destruction and creation, in loss and in gain, in prosperity and in adversity, Job trusted God. Through the darkness and in the light, Job knew that God was still in control and that God is good all the time. And today, come what may, we can experience the same. You see, we may not be able to understand why things happen the way they do, why some houses were destroyed and others were spared. You see, our limited, finite minds cannot see the big picture. But while we may not have the answer to every question, we can know that God sees the end for the beginning. He sees the big picture, and He has our best interest in mind all the time. And by, we will soon see what He sees and understand that which He knows. But for now, in the meantime, we, like Job, can have the peace, knowing that by the destruction of the temporal, God is rebuilding and restoring in us that which is eternal, a character that is fit for heaven and a blessing to others here on the earth. So go ahead, allow the Lord to cover you with the molten lava of fiery love. And may that love cover and consume all that is weak and temporal in you. Let Him create in you that which is strong and eternal, a character that is ready to dwell in the fiery lava of His love throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity.
Well, friends, we have to take a short break, but when we return, we'll have today's devotional thought by Pastor Mark Finley.
Also, don't forget to visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to take a look back at recent episodes and subscribe to our YouTube channel and see what else we have going on at Hope Channel. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. Thank you for staying with us this Friday morning.
It's now time for our devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by Pastor Mark Finley.
There were tears in her eyes when she came to me. She was concerned about her children. She said, "Pastor, I must have done something wrong when I raised them. I brought them up to know Jesus, brought them up to go to church. But, you know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. I must have done something wrong." Let's go back and look at that text with new eyes. Let's look at it with fresh eyes. And let me share with you the counsel, the guidance that I gave to that woman. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Now, this expression, train up, you see, a lot of people think, well, here's a promise that God gives to us. And if I have a child that goes astray, that when they're an adult, they no longer desire to follow Christ, I must have done something wrong in the training up process. Because it says, train up a child in the way he'll go. That's a promise now. And if when he's old, he won't depart from it, but my child departed. This expression, train up, is an interesting expression. It's an old Arabic phrase that literally can be translated, rub the gums. Rub the gums. What's that all about? It's the story of Hebrew mothers teaching their children to nurse. When a Hebrew mother was trying to teach her child to nurse, there were times that the child would have a very difficult time nursing. So the Hebrew mother would get a little vial here, little wooden cup, and carved out, and they'd put a little water in it, and they would mix date paste in that water. And then mother would put her finger in that date paste in the water and get a little bit of that sugary date paste on her finger and put her finger in the child's mouth. So the child then would begin, you know, sucking. She would teach the child to suck. And as she did, the child then would learn to feed at her breast. What is this text saying? Rub the gums of your child. Sometimes the mother would rub the gums with this little date paste so the child would get used to it. In other words, what this text is saying is, put a spiritual taste in your child's mouth, and when they are old, they will never forget it. Rather than being a discouraging text, this is an incredibly encouraging text, because what it really says is, put this taste in your child's mouth. Now, your child's going to have choices. Your child may choose not to come to church. They may choose to walk away from Christ, but the taste you put in their mouth as a child will always be there. That taste will never go away. And even if that child, through their own choice, because you can't manipulate their choice, God couldn't manipulate Adam and Eve's choice in the Garden of Eden, could he? Even if they make the wrong choice and walk away, they're always going to have that spiritual taste. There is always going to be that inner longing for something spiritual, and God can use that to bring them back. Jewish mothers understood this. They understood the necessity of putting a spiritual taste in their children's mouth. From the time the child was young, Mama would begin to sing what was called the Shema to them. The Shema, Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, the Lord our God is one. And these Jewish mothers would sit and they would rock their children and sing to them, the Lord our God is one, Lord. The Lord our God is one. And this would be anchored in the child's mind. The story is told that during the Second World War, many Jewish parents, of course, in Germany and in many of the countries that Hitler attacked and overthrew, many of these Jewish parents were taken and put in prison camps and died. To protect their children, they placed them in orphanages, and many of them went into Catholic orphanages. At the end of the war, these children were orphans. And Jewish rabbis would go to the orphanages to try to identify the Jewish children. But many of the priests would not allow them to enter the orphanage. They would say, you need papers to show the name of the child. Well, of course, those papers were destroyed during the war. On one occasion, some rabbis came to one of these orphanages. The priest refused to let them in. He said, we have no Jewish children here. Approve it. And they, of course, didn't have the papers. And they said, well, what about the names? These are Jewish names. No, they're similar to Polish names, and you can't prove that without the documentation. And so the Jewish rabbis went to the American commander who was in charge of that area, and he told them the story. And they said, well, let's go back. And so they went back to the orphanage, and these Jewish rabbis said, can we just walk through? So the priest allowed them to walk through. And the rabbi began to sing the Shema. This Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, called the Shema, began to sing, the Lord our God is one Lord, the Lord our God is one Lord. And a little child over here, you know, 2 years old, begins to cry. Mama, mama. A seven-year-old over here begins to cry. Mama, mama. And the rabbi said, that one is one of mine. That one is one of mine. That one is one of mine. Why? Because the parents had built into their children at a very young age, the principles of the kingdom of God. And even in captivity, even through the devastating effects of war, these children never forgot what was in their mind. I want to encourage you today, as somebody watching Wake Up with Hope, that you've become discouraged. You've raised your children to know Jesus, but they've drifted away. That longing, that spiritual longing is still in their heart. You have rubbed their gums, if I can say it that way. You have placed within them a desire for spiritual things. And the Holy Spirit can use that desire. The Holy Spirit can move upon their hearts. The Holy Spirit can bring them back. Do not give up hope. Continue to pray for those children that do have that spiritual longing in their heart, just like those Jewish children who never forgot that Shema, the Lord our God is one God. Even in captivity and bondage, they remembered that. Even without their parents, they remembered that. There's some boy, some girl, some son, some daughter at this very moment that has drifted away, but the Holy Spirit is stirring their heart. They're remembering what you taught them. They're remembering the Bible stories that you read to them. They're remembering the Sabbath school that you brought them to. They're remembering some hymn that's sung at home. They're remembering Friday nights at home. where the family gathered together to seek God in prayer and you had a special meal. They're remembering all those things. You have created a spiritual desire in their heart. Now pray. Now ask God to nurture that desire. Now ask God to stimulate that desire to bring them back to the God of their childhood, to bring them back to the Christ who loves them and dies for them. Don't give up. Keep praying and praying and praying.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. What a hopeful message.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up With Hope. And if you'd like to learn more about our program, rewatch the segment during the weekend, or even just share us with a friend, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And this coming week, we'll be right here, ready to start the week with you on Monday at 7 a.m. Our friends from Voice of Prophecy will share a devotional thought and other special features, so you don't want to miss us.
And don't forget, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought, you would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
And follow us on Facebook and YouTube for more inspiring content.
And of course, we can't leave without sharing a Bible promise with you. And today's Bible promise says,
"Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. In your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul. For I am your servant." Amen.
You know, we are ready to start our weekend now, friends, and we hope that you'll take all these reminders of God's love with you throughout the weekend. You know, we truly hope you were blessed and you'll have a blessed weekend, and we can't wait to see you Monday.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, how thankful we are to know that there is a God who promises to be with us. You're faithful and true. And may nothing cause us to doubt or not believe this true promise. So thank you, Lord, for answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.